online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog, the podcast. It's the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of the show, you guys can take away something that'll help improve your company's bottom line. I'm senior editor Lon Keller from Sundog Studios, and joining me today around the table is our application development team lead, Paul Bordeaux. How you doing, Paul?
Good, guys. Good to be here again.
Welcome back to the show. Also sitting next to him is Jonathan Wurzler. He's one of our web developers here at Sundog.
Hey, glad I'm here for the first time.
What we're talking about today, we're going to talk about QR codes, getting into back to the world of mobile, since we have two of our good mobile experts here. So we want to talk about QR codes. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with QR codes, you've probably seen them and didn't even know what they were. I just look at them. They're these little squares. They're not a barcode. They're not bars visually. They're like a pixels put together, and however the pixels are put together is what the barcode means. Paul, can you give us a little better, I'm sure you can. Us a much better description.
That was a perfect description. I loved it, actually. the QR code, actually, QR stands for quick response. It's a two-dimensional barcode. It was developed by the Denso Wave Corporation in Japan back in 1994, and the whole purpose of it was to track automobile parts. It was an easily scannable code that mobile devices or portable devices could be used to track these parts coming in and out. Well, it didn't take long for people to realize that because it's so easily scannable, this is something that would work really, really well with mobile phones and mobile cameras as well. So it's kind of transitioned over into the mobile community, looking into our smartphones as a really easy way to decode information. So that's really what it is.
What else are they being used for today? I mean, what are people finding most useful of these codes?
Today, they're almost exclusively used in the mobile atmosphere. They're not even used for their original purpose of vehicle tracking. Mm-hmm. They're used in marketing. They're used. The idea of a QR code is it's a really easy way to get some type of text or some type of input into your smartphone without the user having to type it all.
And the bigger thing, too, is it's all based on location. So, I mean, you can have QR codes specific to a location that you're at, be it a bar or Realty. We saw one for Realtor that was a really good use of it, too.
Think of it this way. If you're, let's say you're in the airport and you want to have an advertisement in that airport for a hotel or a restaurant for all the people coming in, and you want to somehow connect them to your mobile website really, really quickly, really easily. The old way of doing it would be have a URL down there. And even if you have the URL shorteners, you know, it could be, you know, www.go.com or something like that. That's a real short URL. Mm-hmm. The user still has to type all that in. And, you know, our phones are getting better. We've got better typing technology. But even that's just in the past few years. Before that, typing on a cell phone was a real pain. It was hard to do. So the idea of a QR code is that this is a really easy way to get this information directly into your phone. I just scan this tag and it's there. It can send me to a website. It can initiate a text message conversation. It can be directions someplace. It's lots of different ways you can do this with a QR code.
Yeah, and you can also prompt you to get videos or something like that too. So they can link right up to the YouTube, or if you want to just push a video down to the phone itself, you can do that too.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is every QR code unique, or can the same code be used in different geographic locations? Like you said, it can take advantage of what different locations based upon where the phone is at.
Well, each code is unique. I mean, it's going to be based on whatever URL you give it. Now, you can give it a generic one and then change it in the background as to where it's going to point. But usually, yeah, it's going to be it's going to be unique, and you're going to want to make sure that you kind of focus where you're putting it.
Right, and you can use the same one in multiple locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you get into the measurement and the analytics of it, that's when you're going to start dictating what you want to go where. Think of it this way. It's as unique as URL is.
Yep.
You can put that URL anywhere, but you may want to have a certain URL in a magazine as opposed to a certain URL in an email campaign, so you can track where your leads are coming in from. So the same thing with QR codes.
What types of tools are commonly used to track these codes?
I guess it depends on the type of code you're using.
Yeah.
QR itself is there's no back end to a QR code. Mm-hmm. A QR code is simply encoded text mm-hmm. that you're sending to your phone. So if you want to track information on that, and let's say you're going to send them to a mobile website, you'd have to have your own analytics engine set up on that mobile website, capturing when this was scanned, who came there, browser, that type of stuff, just like you would for any website and the analytics you collect there.
Yeah. Which I guess that would be technically one of the bigger drawbacks, is the fact that you do have to set up your own form of tracking. There isn't a really nice system for that. But then again, you can make it customized to whatever your business is going to want to do. So
exactly.
There's the pros and cons there.
Especially if you do it through a URL. And I keep on going back to URL because that's one of the most common uses mm-hmm. right now. But there's a lot of other uses I want to touch on later on too. But if you are going to a mobile URL, you can usually set it up through some type of analytic engine that mm-hmm. Maybe it's a common short code or a short URL that they track the hits, then redirect you to a different spot in your site. So stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That works really well.
Yeah.
You alluded to the fact that there are other types of codes out there other than QR codes. JAG tag is probably a term most people are familiar mm-hmm, with. Mm-hmm. As we were setting up this show, I didn't realize Microsoft had a system as well. What are the differences between these different types of codes and the benefits and the detriments of each one?
Well, to begin with, there's two different ways you can decode these codes. One of them will be done on the phone itself. The other one's going to be done on a service that exists in the cloud. With QR codes, the information is decoded directly on the phone itself. That means there's no round trip lag. You don't have to wait for that information to be sent and returned to you. You have that immediately. A JAG tag, which is a very popular type of tag, you actually take a picture of it and then you text that picture into a service in the cloud, and that the service itself will decode that tag and then send you back content based on what you have in there. The downside to that is that you have some lag time. You know, mm-hmm. texting's not immediate. Right. It's pretty quick, but if you're in a real heavy volume area like San Francisco, you're going to have 3-4 minutes in between sending out this text and getting this information back. It's not immediate like QR codes are. Mm-hmm. And that can be a pretty big drawback depending on your target audience. You know, mobile is all about immediate gratification, so you need to have that. Now, the benefit with JAG tag is that because you are sending information into their servers, you already have a lot of information being tracked. You have mm-hmm. phone information, location-based information, time of day, type of browser, type of phone. Yep. All that information is tracked in JTAG and can be reported back to you through analytics.
Yeah. But then again, also, when you come with stuff like that, now you're going to start getting into costs per click as opposed to the QR tag, which is going to always be free. With those proprietary, you are going to have a cost per click, which can add up depending on what your campaign is.
Exactly. Now, Microsoft Tag is another one. A little bit different. Microsoft Tag is like QR codes in the fact that it's decoded on the phone and you have immediate response. But it's also like JTAG, where it does send information back to a central server mm-hmm. to determine what type of response to send back to you. Mm-hmm. So let's say you scan a TV guide's a really good example. They have Microsoft tags everywhere in there. You scan one of them, it's actually going to make a request out to the Microsoft site, and it's going to return a video for whatever TV show you happen to be looking at. It's a promo, it's a preview, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, the great part there is that Microsoft is collecting a lot of information for you. Again, they're building their model around their analytics, mm-hmm. you know, so you can report back. Mm-hmm. The downside is that you are paying per click.
Yeah. Oh, and then one other, you know, good benefit of the proprietary one, though, too, is the QR code itself is going to actually look drastically different. You can actually start doing some minor branding to it, or even with the Microsoft one is full color, and you can do quite a lot for it. So, I mean, if you want to worry about your company having that branding in a QR code, going proprietary, I mean, you'll pay for it, but it might be the better choice for you. So right.
QR, you're restricted to two colors, mm-hmm. and they have to be highly contrasting colors. So the most common one you see is black and white, and mm-hmm. that's actually more because that's what we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. If I see a little black and white square, I know it's a QR code. Sure. Whereas if I see a little, you know, red and white one, I might not be sure. And that was actually mm-hmm. an advertisement. I believe it was Coke had.
Yeah, and I think Macy's did one.
Macy's did one too, yep, where they have the QR codes in full color and it's part of the background, and it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. But you don't notice it as well. And so you kind of lose some of your initial call to action there mm-hmm. because you're mm-hmm. blending the QR code in with the rest of the background. A QR code, if it stands out, that's when you're going to get the most response on it.
Yep.
You talked about the smartphones have the ability to decode these. Is software shipped with phones by default that can read these codes. I mean, we've got our smartphones here, and it was, you know, they're easy enough to find and install. But do you have to have one piece of software for the QR code, another different software for the Microsoft code?
Yes.
Or you do?
Yep. QR is a standard. DensaWave actually open sourced this several years back, and they say anybody that wants to use a QR code, you can use it. You can make your own encoders, your own decoders. You can do whatever you want. And that's why it's been so incredibly successful, because lots of places like Google picked up on it, and they have their own QR encoding devices at Google. Now, with the Microsoft tag, that's a separate application you have to download directly from Microsoft. So you will have to install something to use that. As the QR code, it depends on the type of phone you get. About half of the phones in the United States right now come shipped with a QR barcode reader pre-installed on it, because it's an industry standard. We know exactly how it's going to be. The ones that don't, as long as it's a smartphone, I guarantee there's one out for it. Most of the dumb phones also have QR code readers on them. So it's a much more common technology. And that's one drawback that I know a lot of people say about the Microsoft tag is, I don't want to download another app onto my phone. We'll see. I think that's going away.
Well, and I think, you know, we're going to start seeing a lot of phones being shipped with that, because Microsoft has a lot of power, and they get things all...
I could see something like, Microsoft has a pretty strong partnership with Verizon. Verizon comes shipped with Bing on all their phones instead of Google.
And they made a big deal with Nokia now.
Exactly. So I could see some of these phones coming with the Microsoft tag preloaded.
And then also we've got, you know, when you look at stuff like JTAG, you really don't even need a reader for. That's just taking a picture, and then you send that picture in. So, I mean, for that, we might even see more coming out that are based on that, so that people don't have to do individual
apps. That's actually a big selling point for JTAG. This is part of the whole know your audience idea. Know your demographic. Who are you going to try to market your campaigns to? If it's people that tend to not have smartphones, like, for instance, teenagers. Teenagers don't have smartphones. They're not very high. Nielsen released a study last month that talked about the different usage levels among demographics. And teenagers were down in the 5%. Only 5% of the QR codes scanned were attributed to teenagers. So in that case, this might be a good campaign to direct towards JTAG, because we know they have the ability to do that with their phones and SMS and MMS messaging. So,
what costs can a marketer typically see when implementing a QR campaign?
It's very minimal. It's free to generate a QR code. It's free to put anywhere. You don't have to pay for any licensing or trademarks. The only costs that's associated with it are the development of the campaign that the phone needs to point to.
Yeah, and then it depends on if you go with the proprietary or if you go with the basic. If you go with the basic, the only cost you're really going to have is making sure that you're keeping or actually having a tracking to know that this market is even doing anything for you.
Which is recommended but not required.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to...
It's literally free to...
Yeah. If you want to just go with it, you could. Then with the proprietary, you're going to have that cost per click. So, I mean, it's kind of how do you want to weigh it?
Do you know of any case studies where QR codes have been starting to get used more and more with location services, the GPSs in the phones? I'll just throw out a Foursquare as an example. Instead of, going to the Foursquare app, they can just, scan the code on the store window or something, and that'll do it for them. Is stuff like that happening now?
It's starting to. It's becoming more and more prevalent. The North American market is just starting to embrace QR codes. We were pretty low, 2 years ago. They were known among marketers, but they weren't really known that well among consumers. So even in the past 2 years, it's really blossomed. I think the last report was it went up 1,200%
in the last
quarter of Q10 of 2010. So in that case, people are just starting to use them. And we had the opportunity to be at Mobile March 2010, which is a mobile conference here in the Twin Cities, just this past weekend. And one of the campaigns they highlighted there were location-based services that were tied to QR codes. And in this case, it was Foursquare that they were using. So they exist. They're just not as prevalent yet. That's one of the newer things that are happening.
But we're also seeing, QR codes in some of the areas that you wouldn't necessarily think about, like Times Square in New York. I mean, they've got it up on huge billboards now. And I think as people start to at least get exposed to it, I think it's going to blossom pretty good.
I think the highest hit rate they had was in print right now. So in magazines and newspapers, you have your QR code down there, and that seems to be attracting the largest number of I guess can't call them click-throughs anymore, so scan-throughs, I don't know. So that's really where they're blossoming right now. But then the newest part is they're starting to show up in kiosks, like in malls and airports and in places that the public are generally passing. And those tend to be ones, the ones in the print tend to be linking to a mobile website or some type of mobile promo that they have on there. Whereas in the kiosk, it's more along the lines of those are going to be location-based. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's directions from where you are right now to the nearest Applebee's or something like that. So mm-hmm. those are starting to pop up more and more.
Should QR codes do, in your opinion, do more than just link back to a website? Would you consider that to be sort of a, you know, let's, you know, QR code 101, almost in the category of this is a QR mistake?
Well, that's the way people are going to normally start, is mm-hmm. linking back to a website. The worst mistake you can make with a QR code is linking it back to a website that's not optimized for mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the only time you're going to use this QR code is on a mobile device. So yep. if you send them to something that looks horrible on your phone, that's a negative experience for that consumer. It's yeah. going to be bad for your brand. But there's a lot of things you can graduate from once you get past the idea of just the mobile website. Mm-hmm. QR codes can do, like for instance, we talked about linking to maps. We can do that right now. We can literally go into your phone's navigation system and it can give you step-by-step directions from where you are right now to the nearest restaurant. Mm-hmm. We're going to be putting QR codes on our business cards coming out the next time they come around, and those are going to have contact information on them. Mm-hmm. So if I scan that QR code, it's going to add that contact information directly to my phone. So there's lots of other things you can do. YouTube's a really good example. Yep. If you want to pass a mobile video around, mm-hmm. there's a special QR format just for YouTube. Mm-hmm. I know I'm leaving some out.
Emails, I suppose you could do that too.
You can do that. Emails, SMS messages. That's a great one right there. Mm-hmm. Initiating a text campaign through QR code. Yep. So, you know, instead of saying text win to 39185 for something, I just have a QR code that I can scan and it'll fill that information in for me. Now, the user still has to hit send.
Yeah.
QR codes can't take over your phone and do things you don't want them to do, mm-hmm. but it's going to eliminate all that typing that that user has to do to get to that level.
Yep, absolutely.
What predictions do you have for QR codes and JAG tags and the like down the road? What do you want to see happen with this technology?
Just more information in general, because I like the idea that when I see that QR code on a product, I know if I scan that, I'm going to get more specific information on it. Best Buy has a pretty good campaign. Well, I guess I don't know if I'd call it a campaign. It's more of a standard that mm-hmm. when you go into the stores, just about every product line that they have is going to have a QR code, and you can scan it right there, and actually it'll give you the full specs of whatever you're looking at.
Yep, it's right on the price tag. It's really cool.
Yeah, and if it'll even go one step farther in that I can scan TV number one and then scan TV number two, and it'll give me a side-by-side comparison. That, I think, is going to be huge, because you can't, I mean, a lot of our electronics and stuff like that, just as an example, have so much, you know, stats that, okay, the average user probably doesn't care about, but, you know, somebody that's really going to, you know, go line by line on it, that's a huge...
I think the average user does, using Best Buy as an example, I think this is really something that's going to pick up quite a bit as people mm-hmm. realize they're out there more.
Yeah.
We use it as a society. What's one of the first things you do if you're thinking about buying something? You go online, you look it up. Well, this is bringing mm-hmm. online to us right there in the store.
Yeah.
It's great for marketers, because if the consumer has this immediate gratification, this immediate response, they're more likely to make that purchase right there. Mm-hmm. They've already got their research. Whereas if they go back and think about it at their computer for a couple hours, the chance of buying it goes down a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the old... you know, the door-to-door salesman knows that. You make that sale right away, because if you give them time yeah. to think about it, they might not actually go through and purchase it. So from a sales point of view, it's mm-hmm. really good. From the consumer point of view, it's also good, because I'm less apt to make bad purchases. Mm-hmm. That's why people like to go back and think about it for a while, because they don't have the ability to research it right there and see the pros and cons for it. But, you know, I can now with that QR code. If it's mm-hmm. if it's inputting that information into my phone, I have a great way to research it, look at reviews, kind mm-hmm. of go along those lines, and I can make my decision there easier.
Yep. And, you know, promotions are a huge thing, too. I mean, just being right there, being able to click on something and, hey, I'm going to get 25% off, whatever.
Yep. Or, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great draw into the end of the doors.
Yeah. Yeah. In that Mobile March that we were at, one of the women was for bars, actually, and yep. she did a huge thing that when you were in the bar, you clicked on that code, and I think it was like 10% off your bill
yep.
or something
like that. It came back as an immediate coupon to your phone, yep. so it was a mobile yeah. coupon, and that was a great promotion.
Yeah, and that's a huge area. I mean, it goes well beyond bars and whatnot. I mean, there's so many things that we could do with that.
I think of it everywhere that you see a URL right now, mm-hmm. everywhere that you see a text campaign, everywhere that you see some type of opt-in service, we can replace that with QR codes mm-hmm. and just introduce that whole mobile communication medium. Mm-hmm. And it's not limited to just what you see. There's actually a lot more places we're going to see it explode in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I do think is going to happen is usage is going to drop off a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, right now it's really cool and new.
Yeah.
People scan QR codes just to scan a QR code, whether they're interested in it or not, which is both good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting the brand out there. It's brand awareness, and any exposure is good exposure. But you might not be pulling in the same quality of leads that you necessarily would be if this was not just the cool new shiny toy. In a couple of years, as QR codes become more prevalent, I think we're going to start scanning the ones that are more important to us. Mm-hmm. And that's actually going to start bringing the quality of lead generation way up. And I think that's huge.
Well, maybe it kind of goes back to where, you know, it's still relatively in its infancy, but marketers got to start thinking about this thing right now needs to do more than just link back to a website, because that's going to get real boring for a lot of people real fast.
Yep. There was the three rules for marketing. If you went onto a mobile site, it had to be engaging, it had to be interactive, and it had to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's just normal isn't good enough to make a positive impression over mobile. It has to be special. Yeah. Otherwise, people aren't going to come back to it.
Yeah. Anyone can make a QR code. How do they do it?
Google or do a Bing search, I guess.
Yeah, just search for QR code generation, and you'll usually just find a website that literally just has a box that says put your URL in, hit the button, and there you go. You got yourself a QR code.
We're starting to swing more towards certain generators as a standard, because the QR is such a open format. Mm-hmm. They can have a lot of different types that you use, and as an industry, we kind of wanted to narrow that down so we don't have 18 different types of email formats. Yeah. So the one that I tend to recommend is any generation tool that uses the Google Chart APIs to generate this QR code. ZebraXing is one of them, ZXING. They make one of the best QR code readers as well as one of the best QR code encoders. So those tend to work pretty well.
Cool. Very good. JW, Paul, thanks for joining us today. If anyone listening at home has questions for the panelists, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. Once again, I'm Lon Keller, Senior Editor here at Sundog Studios. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time for another edition of Sundog the Podcast. Goodbye, everybody.